Baby, baby, baby. Welcome back to the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. I'm, of course, your host, Flex Shane. I'm joined by the rookie expert himself. We got Brandon Adam. And I guess I shouldn't say of course, because frankly, I haven't really been here too often recently. So you boys held down the fort last week as I suffered from technical difficulties. But we're back. We are less than a week away, Brandon, from the NFL draft. How the hell are you doing?
Man, I'm just twiddling my thumbs, buying time for this draft, right? I mean, this is just keep yourself busy this whole week, and then suddenly it'll be Thursday, and then we're on the draft night. It's gonna be amazing. And we could finally make more solid takes instead of guessing and doing guesswork and all this stuff. And I'm excited about it. This draft class is loaded, and I can't wait to see the landing spots.
It's so loaded, and I mean, listen, for those of you who've been following us the entire offseason, thank you so much. For a lot of you who are starting to join and consume a little bit more rookie content as we are approaching the NFL draft, welcome. We've been here since January talking about rookies. Primarily, I would say yourself and Matt. I mean, yeah. You guys have definitely gone down that rabbit hole, but I'm slowly starting to catch up and starting to understand some of Matt's cockamamie takes. We'll see if they come home to roost or... I don't know. I mean, listen, Flex Matt is not afraid to be bold. Yeah, he's not afraid to be bold. And when he hits, baby, does he hit, which I love. Oh, what's going on? How are you clowns doing? What's going on, Logan? Man, we are fantastic.
This amazing circus time. Yeah, like it's just, we're here to entertain you. So let's talk a little fantasy. And yeah, Matt is, you know, Matt has, he hits on some stuff, and when he hits, he lets you know about it. So yeah, I love it. And this, he has some very big takes on this draft class, and it's going to be exciting to see where some of his guys land this coming up week here.
I think Brandon was kind of interesting. I would say the most divisive player within our little group chat. So that would be the two of us, as well as Flex Matt and Mike Dickinson. It's got to be Adonai Mitchell, right? Like, he's probably the most divisive player. And officially, for the record, I don't hate Adonai Mitchell as much as it sounds like. I just like to share and pass along some of the predictive analytical stats, advanced metrics, such as yards per route run, where he hasn't frankly done very, very well, right? Like, that's just – so this is kind of what really lit the fire. So PFF, and – for the right, like, we like to consume a lot of different content. I like to consume content from people who watch a lot of film, like the roster watch guys. I like to consume a lot of data related information, such as PFF, JJ Zacharyson with the Late Round podcast. And then I like to do a lot of reading, right? Like, just pure NFL, like Dane Brugler over at The Athletic. He released The Beast. I'm telling you, Brandon, like, this thing is beastly when you look at the the level of just depth with these players, right? So I like to consume it all. And then, of course, I like to get the data myself, look at the data myself, analyze the data myself, watch a lot of film. I'm really starting to ramp up my film. And of course, one of the things that I'm worried about with Adonai Mitchell, if he falls to round two, all bets are off. I am cool with the upside. I'm cool with the risk, right? Where I'm a little bit worried about Adonai Mitchell from his analytical profile, and yes, I understand the whole Texas offense was like a peewee offense. Yes. But ultimately, it's going to potentially produce two round one wide receivers, potentially Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. I'm just worried that he's got bust written all over it, right? And if he goes in round one and he gets steamed up, say to like rookie pick in our super flex leagues, 1.8, 1.9, I'm not totally comfortable with that. Yeah. If he falls to like 2.1, 2.2, then it's like, okay, round two in our rookie drafts, you're going for upside. And ultimately, and this is key, Brandon, upside wins championships, especially in dynasty fantasy football. But very key here, and I'll let you talk here in a minute off my rant, is that you need to have consistent play from your players to get you to the playoffs to then have that nuclear upside, right? So it's always a balance between what's a safe player, what's an upside player, and then ultimately, if you're drafting like a Malik Neighbors, a Marvin Harrison, a Romo Odunze, you're going to get both the safe floor and the epic upside. So, I mean, where are you landing on Adonai Mitchell? Like, if you were an NFL GM, Brandon, where are you comfortable drafting him? And then ultimately, based on that draft capital, where are you comfortable taking your rookie drafts?
So it really depends on what team, what staff I got. Adonai needs a lot of polish and a lot of coaching. Mm-hmm. But man, his body has the high upside that we want. He has all the athleticism. He's a big wide receiver that wins against press. I would probably end up taking a shot on him late after the 20th pick and on. That's probably where I would take a shot on him, just because his athletic profile is different. Like his RAS score is 9.8 or something crazy. Like he has every bit of athleticism that a Malik Nabers has, that a Brian Thomas has, that Roma Dunze has. He has all that. It's just the fact that he moved around in college. I don't know why he decided to go to Texas. We were in our group chat, and Matt made a great point about Adonai, where if he would have took the Javon Baker route when he left Georgia and went to a smaller place and where he could have been the focal point of the offense, he probably would be, you know, his numbers, his yards per route run would be a lot better. It's going to be that way. But with when we went to Texas, they gave him a role and one role, and that was it. You got to win on the boundary, on the outside, and go win that football and go get 50-50 balls. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to limit him to that, that's not enough for me to take him in the top 20 of the draft. But if I need to meet the kid. If he has a hard work ethic and he wants to push and be great, yeah, I would take a shot on that athleticism in the later half of first rounds for sure.
And I think that's key, Brandon. So many of these players are get drafted in rounds one and two. I mean, you look back at all the historical bust wide receivers in round one, and generally speaking, these guys have all the tools to produce at a high level, but ultimately it's what's going on up here, right? It's what's going on in the head. I mean, we got Boise Zag in the chat saying he's got a hard pass on 80.
I get it. Yeah, I get it, man. High floor, zero floor. like it's literally that kind of deal with him. I agree. I get that, but I honestly hope when he gets into the league that they just don't stick him at X. I hope he plays the big slot. I hope he gets some time at the flanker where he can get some deep dig routes, crossing routes where he can stack up some yards that way and go win across the middle. He has the size to do that and the leaping ability to do that. So that's what I'm hoping that I hear from a team that drafts him, is that's the plan. If you're the kind of guy that's only going to draft based on whatever they've done in college, instead of projecting what they can be, I get it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to take AD. You're not going to take Adonai in the first round of rookie drafts. You're just not. If you have the mindset of, man, what can this guy become? And you see what he is, what he can be physically, then you can start taking shots on him. If you have multiple firsts, if you have a couple firsts, you know, that's the type of teams that can take a shot on an Adonai and feel okay about it. If you got one pick and it's the 108, you're probably not going to take Adonai Mitchell unless he goes to like the Bills. Then yeah, all bets are off. You're going to the Bills. They have a massive, they will throw him out there and groom him to be their one. But it's definitely interesting. If he goes to like, let's say he goes to the Jags, I'm less excited about it. I'm not a big fan of how the Jags use their X. They really didn't do a great job with Ridley last year on trying to get him into easy plays, easy catches. They really made everything hard on Ridley. He had to earn it on the boundary a lot. So that's the kind of, it just depends on where he goes. That will flip my view on him. Right now I have him as my wide receiver six, or wide receiver five. I'm sorry, excuse me. Wide receiver five, but he can fall all the way to the eight based on where he lands.
Yeah. And I think that is a great, dovetail to the show topic today. And it's arbitrage rookie picks. So this is obviously we're going to take a bit of an NFL lens, but also a rookie dynasty draft lens with these types of players. And when you look at AD Mitchell and you look at the archetype, I mean, there's similar players like the Brian Thomas Juniors of the world, the Keon Colemans of the world, Xavier Legats of the world that are similar profiles, but ultimately can be a little bit different. So let's get into it, Brandon. Let's do our arbitrage rookie players.
He's my best friend. He's my pal. He's my homeboy, my rotten soldier. He's my sweet cheese, my good time boy.
All right, Brandon, I got to throw it to you first because I love your first comp here. So why don't you give it to us?
Yeah, speaking of Javon Baker, I have him as an arbitrage play to a Roma Dunze. If you want to take some shots on a guy in the late second, early third, that has a very high pedigree of where he came from. He went to Georgia, transferred out. He decided not to be a pass blocker the whole time as a wide receiver, a run blocker. And he decided to go actually be a number one wide receiver out at Central Florida. And you know what? He was a monster over there. The reason I like him to Roma Dunze is how they attack the football in the air. They make 50-50 balls into 75-25 ball, and they are a quarterback's best friend on the boundary. They are going to make that catch in tight spots with tight coverage, and both Rome and Javon have done that. Javon can do it against all kind of coverages as well as Rome can as well. But if you look at the route success rate I love reception perception. If you don't have this tool, you need to get this tool. This is a tool that can confirm the way I look at things. I always watch the games first, and then I wait for the analytical stuff to come out to check my eyes, to actually fact check my eye test. And then if I'm getting a check, then I can roll with them as the prospect of what I think. If I see something different in their prospect, in their reception perception numbers, then I go back, watch more games, and figure out what I want, what I missed, right? So when you look at the numbers, if you look at the route tree numbers, slant, curl, dig, Roma Dunze, his success rate for the slant is 87.2, Javon 81. 79.6 for the curl route, Javon 87.8. The dig route, Javon not as good as Rome. So Rome was 85.7, Javon 61.9. But this is where they meet together. Okay. This is where Javon's actually better than Rome. And it's on the deeper route, the post, going to the post, getting some touchdowns, beating people deep. That's where Javon shines. And his success rate was at a 93.3% on all post routes for himself. That's the highest of the class of anybody on post. So Rome was at 83.9. On the nine route, another favorite of Javon, his success rate was at a 61.5, and Rome was only at a 60.8. So they match up on those deeper routes. They win those routes when they have to separate late and win contested catches. That is what Javon Baker does, and that's what Rome has done for Penix. Penix literally knows he could put that ball anywhere in the vicinity of Rome, and he's going to make that catch. And that's exactly what Javon Baker was for his offense. And I just think Javon was kind of stunted in his growth because, A, he went to a run-first offense with Georgia, a old-school banger offense, and he had Ladd McConkey there. They had AD Mitchell there. They had Javon Baker there, all fighting for routes that they just didn't have a lot of volume for, right? So two of those guys left. One went to Texas, one went to Central Florida, and Javon Baker is a dog, man. I just think this guy is a complete dog. He has that same mentality as Rome. And even on the corner routes right here, 87.5 for Javon. For Rome, he was so much better on corner routes than Rome. 64.7 for Rome. 81 for the out route. Rome Madunze was at 81% success rate. Javon was at 83.3. So that's where they match up again. I just think they play the game similarly. When the ball is at that truth moment where you got to make a play, I think they both contort their body well. And I just think the value, I think Javon Baker can become a very complete wide receiver with 1 year under his belt. I think he's a type of guy that can make a huge impact for you late in your third round rookie drafts. And I just think it's a nice value and a nice arbitrage play off of the big dogs like Rome, Malik, and Marvin.
Javon Baker's definitely got his hive though, right? Like there's always these a lot of these like kind of later players have their hives that are always going to drive up their ADPs in certain pockets. But I guess I should be remiss because Clip basically said, do you really think we understand what arbitrage means? So for those of you out there who don't understand what the concept is, it's a higher end prospect that you can essentially get like the light version later in our rookie drafts, right? So in this case, Romo Odunze is probably going to go in our mid round one. I mean, it's essentially
he's going 105,
105, 106. Whereas Javon Baker is probably going to be going around three of our rookie drafts, or you know, potentially earlier, right? Like late round two, depending on where the draft capital settles. But that's the premise of the show. It's a similar archetype player that you can get a lot cheaper than call it the sports car version of these types of players. So yeah, I think that's a really sharp play.
Let's fix one thing. Not Georgia, Alabama. Sorry. SEC, big time schools. That's where Javon went. It's just he went there. AD went. Mitchell went to Texas. My bad.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good, man. So, yeah, I think that's a really sharp perspective. I mean, ultimately, Romo Odunze is going to have the draft capital, right? I mean, he's projected to go at latest probably top 10 in the real NFL draft, whereas Javon Baker is round three probably, like realistically.
Four.
Potentially round four.
I would say four. Yeah, I would say three, four. If Javon Baker gets third round or high third round, I'm going to be ecstatic. Like, that is so good. Everybody wants to find those third round wide receivers from the NFL draft. And i.e. Amon-Ra St. Brown, like that type of guy. Like, that is where those guys are found. And Javon Baker has some really great tools that he could work with and actually grow from. It's not his fault. He went to a quarterback that just couldn't throw anything else besides deep. He wasn't very good at throwing timing routes and all that good stuff. So you got to really kind of project with Javon a little bit and figure out that he can do it all. He really can. He's a boundary guy that can actually run a lot of routes.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. I'm just getting so trolled so hard in the chat here, so I'm not even going to bring up and dignify these people with a response. A couple of years ago when Kate Otten was coming out, I called him a small school tight end. Of course he wasn't.
Oh, God, I remember that one,
And literally two, 3 years later now, I'm still getting trolled from Clipboard Jesus.
That's great. Our chat is legit, dude. That's so good that they remember that.
Oh, trust me. What? That's the thing, right? When you put it public, when you go into the airwaves and you make mistakes like that, you'll never live it down. So I've accepted it. It's okay. Listen, I have to go to a meeting once a week and get through that. But that's my thing. That's my thing. I'm working through Clipboard. Speaking of working through here, I'd say another pretty divisive player is Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina.
Yes.
And what I would say is, if you want to get the light version or the arbitrage version of an Xavier Leggett, Jermaine Burton out of Alabama, to me, seems like a very similar archetype in terms of a player. Now, what's kind of interesting here, Brandon, in terms of both these players are a little bit bigger body. Jermaine Burton is 6 foot 196. Leggett is like he's thick. He's 6 foot 221. But what these guys' superpowers are is the deep ball. Leggett has 554 deep yards, which is one of the highest in the class. And then Burton had an impressive 484 deep yards. So both of these guys can get it done on the boundary. But what's, I think, a little bit more interesting here is that Leggett, I've heard early round two potentially. Now, where I think it's going to shake out is probably like the 2-3 turn, whereas Jermaine Burton is getting discussed, same thing, early round three, late round three. But when you look at the difference between where these guys are going in our rookie drafts, Leggett's pretty much a mid-round two pick, like pretty consensus, whereas you see Jermaine Burton falling to like late round three, Brendan, in a lot of these drafts, right? And I think what I think one of the key takeaways as I've gone through this exercise, Brandon, is that there's a lot of very similar players with a lot of boom bust potential between about mid round two all the way to like early round four, which on the running back side of things, we'll talk about a few running backs a little bit later in the show that you've highlighted. But, you know, ultimately where we're going to get our edge is really manifesting that value later on in rookie drafts and understanding the difference. And this is one of the reasons we get so into this, because ultimately the draft is 3-4 days away. We're recording this on April 21st, Sunday, April 21st. The draft is, of course, this Thursday. And the feedback is, well, why do all this analysis? Because so much of a player's success is landing spot as well as draft capital. Yeah. But ultimately, when we have strong takes on players and you understand that profile, when they land into a certain situation, we know, okay, wheels up for these players, right? And as you start really getting into round three of your rookie draft, if you have 100% exposure to a certain player because you've got a strong take on that guy pre-draft, but maybe he fell down the NFL draft board, those are the types of players we're going to be really good on. I mean, listen, like, I know there's a few people out there who had Puka Nacua high in their draft board, but I don't know about you, Brandon. I consume a lot of content. I didn't hear a lot about Puka Nacua, but I know for the rafters, Matt, Flex Matt was screaming Puka Nacua. So
He was. I'll give it to him. He was, man.
So these are the types of players that we're trying to find with this type of exercise, right? This is a really interesting take from Boise Zag. So he says he's in on taking a chance with Legette, but that fifth-year breakout is leaving some concern, of course. But listen, here's the thing, Brandon. Yes, it's a late breakout. I find that we kind of can give these guys a pass because they lived through the COVID era, right? There was a lot of disjunction in what happened through the COVID era. But ultimately, he's still produced, right? He he still has that season in the bank, even if it was his last season, even if he's an older prospect, he definitely had that produced. But listen, if you're uncomfortable taking Xavier Legette in mid-round two of your rookie drafts, take Jermaine Burton in late round three, man. That's the whole point of this exercise. That's the freaking play, man. So throw it to you. Give me another one.
One little quick deal about his late Xavier Legette's late breakout. His mother passed away when he was in college.
Oh, interesting.
So that can shake a young man. That can be something that can stop a young man from actually, you know, producing and thinking and wanting to be motivated. So that I'm going to give him a pass. That's mainly reason why I moved him to six on my draft board, on my draft board as of now, because I found out about that and I was like, wow, that makes a ton of sense to me with just COVID years and then that happening with his family. And so that's something when you lose a loved one, that's insane. And that can be a problem. So that's why I'm just going to believe what I saw in his fifth year and kind of project that forward and see, and hopefully he lands with the Lions. I'm hoping he's been at the Lions and the Lions have been looking for an X receiver all pre-draft process. Every single X receiver they've brought him in. So that is somebody that I'm hoping lands with the Lions. But my next one is we're going to go straight to the running backs. Yes, sir.
Before you do this take, I'm just looking at like the Lions draft capital. They've got pick 61 in round two and pick 73 in round three. Like that's right around where he's being projected to go. So that's pretty sharp. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to the running back position here. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite guys, Marshawn Lloyd. He's 5'9", 210 pounds, USC running back. But guess what? If you don't want to take Marshawn Lloyd and worry about with his late breakout as well and his late production and the injuries with him, you can go get yourself a guy by the name of Kamani Vidal out of Troy. He's a 5'8", 218-pound running back. This guy, per PFF stats last year, is ranked number two for the rushing, and he had 1,661 yards last year, averaged 5.6 yards per attempt, had 14 touchdowns, only fumbled the ball twice, which is great. His run grade was at a 93.2. That's unbelievably good. Yards after contact, he scored in at 3.5 yards, 3.58 yards, yards after contact. Marshawn Lloyd was at 3.97. Both of these guys are legitimate running backs out of the backfield. He can catch as well. I just think if you like that build of a 5'9", 5'8", 210, over 205 pound running back, 210 pound, 218 pound running back, like I do. That's why I love Ken Walker. Kamani Vidal reminds me a lot of Ken Walker when he runs the football. This is a guy that's going to go probably in the fifth round of the NFL draft, real draft. Yeah. And if he can get any kind of opportunity, I think he can bust out and actually be one of those guys that just comes in late in the season from an injury, whatever, like, you know how it is with these late rounder RBs. They can get in the stable and then they get their op late in the season. I think Vidal is going to get his op. I think if any coach sees him in camp, they're going to make sure he gets some opportunities to shine. I like this guy a lot. Runs behind his pads, can make people miss, no problem. I just love the build. I'm all for Kamani Vidal.
Yeah, so what's kind of interesting here, you basically said before the show started when we were chatting about our players that you would be comfortable taking them anywhere around four of our rookie drafts. And yeah. I look back from about 3-4 weeks ago now when we did that mock draft with some experienced players. It's a lot of dynasty players that we play with across various leagues. Yep. He went at pick 5.2. So yeah. If you like this player, then that's the price you're going to have to pay for the guy, right? And I would expect probably you're right. Bad. Probably round five seems like the sweet spot for this player. Now, let me ask you this question, Brandon. If I was to say that his best comparable player on playerprofiler.com was Isaiah Pacheco, how does that make you feel?
Wheels pretty, up, pretty damn good, right? Like, wheels yeah. up, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm all so, in. Like, I mean, I'm surprised Mike didn't pick him out. Mike is the one that called Pacheco out before anybody in the industry. I mean, yep. Anyone. Like, we have it on tape. Like, this guy, like, we can pluck these RBs, and Kamani Vidal is a guy I'm going to be taking swings at 100% in the fourth round. And honestly, if he can creep it somehow, let's say some staff just falls in love and they take him in round four, like, he's going to be moving up in my board. 100%.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty sharp. So let's move on to my next players. I'm going to stick at the wide receiver position here. And a player who's been getting a ton of steam for good reason is mm-hmm. the wide receiver out of Georgia, and that's Ladd McConkey. A nice little arbitrage play for me. A guy who I would say if you're deep down the rabbit hole like we have been, but he's one of my favorite players in the draft. I wish he would get to draft capital. Probably going to project as primarily a slot receiver, at least early on, mm-hmm. is Ricky Pearsall. So yep. Ladd McConkey, man, he's being mocked to a lot of different teams at the end of round one. You said that, and this just makes way too much sense, especially if Brandon Ayuk gets traded or is no longer a mm-hmm. Niner. But Ladd McConkey to the Niners just seems like a Shanahan-type guy. Yep. Versatile. Can win in short space, can play X, he can play in the slots. He's just a hardworking guy, strong work ethic. Like, that's a Shanahan type player. I don't want to call him quite the Swiss Army knife because I feel like that's, you know, like more like a Malachi Corley type player, because Ladd can do a lot more than that, right? He can play a traditional X wide receiver, he can play the Z, yeah. Like, he can do it all as far as I'm concerned. But Ricky Pearsall, man, I think he's starting to get some buzz. But in terms of the NFL, he's still getting late round two, mid round three draft capital projection. And because there's such a cluster of these wide receivers, like, we're going to see on the high end of the draft, so early round one, a lot of these players go off. I mean, Brandon, the over under for wide receivers drafted in round one is 6.5 this year. That's absolutely insane. And I wouldn't be shocked to take the over on that, right? When you look at who potentially could go there, like, there's a big three, then you throw in BTJ, Brian Thomas Jr., you throw in Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. And then you throw in a Ladd McConkey. Like, I could see the over on that. But there's still going to be so many of these players drafted in round two and three, which is day two capital, top 100 capital. There's a lot of value there. Ricky Pearsall fell to mid round three in our mock from last month, and I think that's definitely going to be seamed up probably late round two, early round three. But when you look at here's the thing, right? You figure, okay, what's a comfortable spot for these players to go in a rookie draft? And then you put it on paper, and then you bake in the fact that there could be a lot of people are saying there could be like five or six. Like there's a lot of steam with Bo Nix being drafted in round one,
yep.
Michael Penix being drafted in round one, which in our super flex leagues, that's going to push players like Ricky Pearsall later on in the draft, because you need to take the shot on those quarterbacks, right? You look at just the return on that investment at that draft capital. You got to take the swing. So Ladd McConkey probably going to be going early round two in our rookie drafts. Ricky Pearsall, mid round three. To me, that's a fantastic arbitrage play. Frankly, I want both of them on my team. But if for whatever reason, like Ladd's got a hive, I'm going to have a ton of Ricky Pearsall. I'm comfortable taking him, frankly, late round two, but you probably don't have to. Early round three is, to me, a sweet spot where that guy's going to go.
Honestly, yeah. I think Ricky Pearsall probably has one of the largest route trees of any player besides like Roma Dunze. I think Roma Dunze, Roma Dunze and Ricky Pearsall should be the arbitrage play if you weren't going to do Javon Baker. I went deeper because I just like the fact how they catch the ball at 50-50 situations. But I really, the more the numbers are coming out on Pearsall, I really like him a lot. The only thing that he doesn't have is yards after catch ability. He's a lot like a Chris Olave in that way, where he just doesn't get after it after the catch, which is fine. He's a little leaner. He's a little bit of a leaner wide receiver. But man, he can destroy people from everywhere. Like he can just do it. And that's just, he's just unfortunately kind of got stuck with like Anthony Richardson, where Anthony only threw the ball so many times and he was only so accurate, right? Well, there were some real accuracy issues in Florida for A-Rich. So the production is going to suffer for the wide receivers that are catching the footballs from A-Rich in college. But yeah, I love that Pearsall. I've been saying it. I just said it. I just gave Matt his flowers last night. I was like, you know, I'm going to have to put him higher because his numbers are just good, man. Like, it's just, he's very successful with every bit of the routes, and just check out his reception perception. You're going to find out the goods on him.
Yeah. If you talked about yards after the catch, Roma Dunze, 5.6 yards per catch, yards after the catch per reception. Ricky Pearsall, 5.8. Kind of nailed it. Boom. There you go. There you go, brother.
Like, it's just the truth, man. Like, it's just how it is. Like, yeah.
So clips saying we're a little bit low on Ricky Pearsall. I'm just real. I'm just realistic, Plip. Like, when you look at how it's going to shake out, and then you start baking in, like, there's going to be a lot of these running backs that are going to be taken in round two, and that's going to be the sweet spot for a lot of these running backs, because players, listen, we want those upside running backs on our teams. That's going to push players like Ricky Pearsall later in draft.
It's going to be like this. It's going to be like Trey Benson, Ricky. It's going to be like Marshawn Lloyd, if he gets a good landing spot, Ricky.
Yes.
Like, you're right. It's a big deal. Like, there's really no first round running back, so everybody is going to be smashing running backs in the second round of rookie drafts. And if that starts happening, you could end up getting Pearsall at a major discount. And people just are sleeping on him a little bit, and that's fine. That's why you're here. If they're sleeping, you pivot. Like, it's just that's how you work. How you get value. And Pearsall, I don't see how you can go wrong with drafting that guy.
Yeah, Clip saying we think running backs are going to go too early. But listen, like, I'm just looking back at rookie mock draft data. Like, that's all we have to go off of. And when you look at round one of a lot of these,
that was a while ago too. So
yeah, this was a little while ago, but I'm just looking in general
at
like the general data, like over at Sleeper. And you've got, in terms of round two players, now a lot of this is going to obviously be landing spot dependent, but at the running back position, Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, Blake Corum, Jalen Wright, those guys are probably pretty realistically going to be falling around two. If Bo Nix and Michael Penix get drafted in round one or even early round two in super flex leagues, we're going to take shots on those guys, right? And they're going to be probably early round two capital. And then you look at wide receivers, where like an Xavier Worthy, he might fall to round two because people are high on, maybe there's a Keon Coleman or an Adonai Mitchell right? So it's just, the numbers don't lie. It pushes these players later in drafts. And there's always going to be pockets that people are comfortable taking a position. So, and then you bake in the fact that there's not really, there's no tight ends, but we play in a lot of tight end premium leagues. So maybe like a Jatavion Sanders sneaks into round two. So, you know, when you start just parsing it out, Ricky Pearsall fell to 3.6. Again, this was a little while ago, but players
this
like
was
Marshawn
about
Lloyd,
6 weeks ago.
Yeah. Marshawn Lloyd, Xavier Leggett, Braylon Allen, Roman Wilson, all these players went before him. And that's not unrealistic to say, listen, close your eyes in a month or 3 weeks when we're doing our rookie drafts. It could shake out that way. So listen, if you're comfortable with Ricky Pearsall in round two, like I love that all day long. But ultimately it's gonna be it's binary. It's either this player or that. You only have one pick, let's say, in most traditional leagues. So you have to make a decision. And positional scarcity, upside, right? If a running back falls into a position where they're gonna get a lot of workload, how do you realistically take Ricky Pearsall, who's probably gonna, at least early on in his career, be a slot wide receiver in college? And in 2023, he spent 60% of his routes. He lined up in the slot. A lot of two wide receiver sets out there on different teams, right? In which case, who's sitting on the bench right there? That's going to be Ricky Pearsall. So listen, I love the player, but when you look at range of outcomes, high upside, people are going to take shots on these running back positions before they take a shot on Ricky Pearsall, which is going to push him down the draft board. And anywhere around three, I love him. Frankly, I'd take him at the end of round two. So, all right, Brandon, let's go one more.
All right. This is not about this. This arbitrage is not about the route tree. This arbitrage is about attitude and the way these two players play the game. Okay. These two players play the game in a violent, ferocious, explosive kind of way. And Malik Nabers, if you want to take a guy that has some dog in him, that is a yak god, that can kill you out of the slot, go get yourself some Malachi Corley. Malachi Corley, 5'11", 210, thick, runs through and mother effers. You know, this guy is one of my favorite people to watch on tape because he does not care about his body in the least. He literally just smashes through people and creates yards after contact from the slot. Yes, Malachi Corley did not succeed. He did not get the opportunities on the outside like Malik Nabers. He did run out of the slot 85% of the time. But you know what? The way these guys play and the way these guys yak it, get yak after the catch, it's just fun. Like every time I watched Malachi, I was like, dude, he runs the ball. Once the ball's in his hands, he looks like Malik Nabers. And that might be blasphemous for some people to hear, but you know what? I don't really care because it's just, if you look at the yards created after contact, 683 yards after contact for Malachi, Nabers 589. Yak per reception for Nabers 6.6. The yak god himself is at 8.6. Bet, you know, not as good competition, but you know what? It that's 2 yards. It makes up for it. He is so above the meat, above what averages and what his division is. He's a dominant player against the competition he plays. I just think Malachi Corley is going to land on a team with a creative coach, and you're going to end up seeing somebody that is going to grow in the next two, three years. And if he can play a little bit on the outside and win on the outside a little bit, he's going to be an effective, valuable player in the NFL.
What's so interesting about this player, I mean, you look at the missed tackles. I mean, Malik Nabers is just utter monster with 30 missed tackles, which is insane. Yeah. But his average depth of target, this is Malik Nabers, is 12.2. Malachi Corley, 15 missed tackles, which doesn't sound like a lot when you compare it to 30, but it's still one of the highest in the class. Players above him, Malik Washington with 35, which is fantastic. Romo Odunze was 14. Troy Franklin, who is shifty as hell, is only 14. So again, Malachi Corley, this is one of those players where he's shifty with the ball in his hand. What kind of scares me a little bit, though, is just in general
his ADOT.
His average, his ADOT is 5.5.
Yeah,
that's just it's.
He could be Rondell Moore. He could be Rondell Moore. Yeah. He could be Rondell Moore, a bigger version of Rondell. But damn it, man, I just love the way the guy plays. I love attitude players. I love players that try and kill grass when they're running, and that's what this guy does.
You know what's interesting, too, about that, Brandon? Then you bake into the fact that the new kickoff rules are really going to reward teams that have that return specialist, right? So I could see Malachi Corley coming, getting drafted 100%. By a team in, let's call it round four, round five, and you say, listen, Malachi, your role this year as a rookie is to return kicks. We want you to do what you do best. Your superpower is with the ball in your hand and making things happen, especially in tight spaces. And that is exactly what the kickoff rules are going to be. So why is that a good thing? It means he's going to be dressed. He's going to be on the. He's going to be dressed on the roster and he's going to be available. Maybe he starts to earn a little bit of trust. So this is a player that I agree, like probably year one, don't really see a lot of opportunity for him, but this is a player that can build himself up through his career, and probably in a year or two, like he could be a real a real factor in our fantasy football leagues.
And you don't got to take him till fourth round, third round.
Yeah,
like you really don't got to take him till late. Like, yeah, you don't have to use a second rounder on him. I think he's just. I think he's got the attitude and the want to be better after hearing some of his interviews. Like. You could just tell, man, he's got some fire. Like, I like him a lot.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Okay. I'm gonna move over to the running back position because these are a couple players that we both really like. And this is kind of a – I'm going to say this is cheating a little bit because ultimately they're going to probably have similar draft capital in the real NFL. Mm-hmm. But where they land is going to have a huge impact on, I think, where they're drafted. And both these guys are probably – maybe round three, but upward potentially round five players in a rookie draft. And that's Will Shipley out of Clemson and Dylan Lauby out of New Hampshire.
Yep.
Ultimately, these guys are currently being projected mid round four, round five. I bet you Lauby probably is going to be drafted higher just because he's starting to get a lot more buzz. But Will Shipley, man, he's got the Clemson helmet. So it's hard to say where they're going to go. But ultimately, if you can't get one, get the other. And where these guys are special, Brandon, is in the passing game. Look at Will Shipley. 2023, he had 31 receptions for 231 yards. In 2022, he had 37 receptions for 237 yards. Then you look at Dylan Lauby, okay? He played 4 years in college. This is insane. This is insane.
Yeah, just say the numbers. They're kind of
2023,
crazy.
Okay, this is a running back. He had 68 receptions for 699 yards at New Hampshire. In 2023, and in 2022, he had 49 receptions for 464 yards. We know that in fantasy football, a reception is far more valuable than a rush attempt. So 100%. If these guys get on the field and they make things happen, man, it's going to be so much fun watching both these players.
Lauby makes this is low hanging fruit comp. I know, whatever, but he seems like to me a larger Danny Woodhead. Like that's what he reminds me of. He's a beast. And I actually like him a lot. In late in drafts. I'll probably end up getting, him before Kamani, but yeah, I like the pass profile. You're right. He's going to be able to stay on the field because of that reason. And they're going to scheme him up. I think he runs great behind his pads. He's elusive. Yeah. I like him a lot.
You know, I think ultimately, Brandon, like especially with a lot of these later round running backs, you just want players that are potentially going to be on the field. Like you want to take a shot at it, right? And you know, what's interesting though is that we always say get your wide receivers early and take shots at running backs later in our rookie drafts. But a lot of these profiles, like there's definitely some sex appeal with some of these later running backs, but there's going to be some sex appeal with some of these later wide receivers as well. So it's going to be a fun draft. I mean, listen, I think pretty clearly. You know, on the wide receiver position, there's a lot of sizzle at the top, like major sizzle at the top. There's three wide receivers that are going to be drafted that could potentially be top 12 wide receivers in fantasy football for the next 3, 4, 5 years, right? Like real impact.
Like honestly, we have three new dynasty wide receivers entering the league, and they're all top 15 assets. All of them.
Yeah, man. I'm all telling you, like they're so valuable. But then you look at both of these positions, and yes, there's not quite as much sizzle, especially at the top for the running back position. But a lot of these players are so landing spot dependent as well as usage dependent that if a coach gets comfortable with a player like Dylan Lauby or Will Shipley, like they're going to get playing time and they're going to produce. So,
or Ladd McConkey, like that.
Or Ladd McConkey, man.
I'm waiting for his landing spot because I am like this close to moving him up in my ranks. I'm this close. I just need to know where he's going. That's the only thing. So,
yeah. So last week I did send you guys my rankings just because I obviously wasn't able to join the show. And a lot of what drives it is like there's a sizzle at the top, but then draft capital really will drive, I think, the success for a lot of these players because they're just going to get the opportunity on their teams. That's why I had Xavier Worthy ranked so high because I think he's going to land on a team. And he doesn't quite seem to me like a Shanahan type player, but if you look at just his yards after the catch, like it is elite, it's the highest in his class, and sitting there at 31, maybe I think Ladd's a better fit. I agree, but I could see Worthy being a potential candidate to land in San Francisco as well. Go ahead.
Worthy's going to be a Dallas Cowboy.
You think so? I mean, 100%. He's definitely
Dallas Cowboy. I'm telling you, Michael Gallup is gone. They need somebody on the other side of CeeDee Lamb to stretch the field and to be a threat so they can't just load up on CeeDee. Like, if Jerry wants to make a splash in this draft, he's in a good spot to get Worthy, and that is the best fit, in my opinion, for him.
You know, it's funny. I didn't really think about that because the Cowboys really do have a lot of needs. But yeah, you could absolutely see them.
And I put a bet on it.
24, and you put a bet on it. So we'll cheer for that. So Worthy at 24, and then who do you like? Like, I mean, obviously, whoever lands in Dallas. That to me, that's kind of like the sexiest spot for these running backs because there's going to be an opportunity. Like beating out Deuce Vaughn and Rico Dowdle, like, is not going to be hard for one of these running backs.
Trey Benson to Cowboys. Trey Benson to the Cowboys. That will be a monster. Then you're going to have to look at if you have the 109, 110, 111, 112, there's going to be decisions that you got to make because Trey Benson has the profile to be a shout out, Matt, Joe Mixon. That is the comp I like a lot for Joe Mixon. I was trying to think of the player that used to run stiff a little bit slower than Trey Benson. T.J. Yeldon out of Bama. They run the ball very similar on the way they're kind of stiff, and they kind of are similar, but Trey Benson is like a 4-3 T.J. Yeldon. So like that's kind of the style, but both Joe Mixon and T.J. Yeldon both have that upright kind of stiffer upper body kind of deal, but Trey Benson has the explosive profile to really crush it in fantasy. I would love him to go to the Cowboys because honestly, the Cowboys, their line isn't great anymore. It's not going to be an elite line anymore, the O-line. So they're going to need a guy that's going to be able to eat up space and be explosive when there's a little bit of daylight. And Trey Benson can do that.
What do you think about this comp? Again, this is from Player Profiler, J.K. Dobbins for Trey Benson. It's not bad. It's not bad, right?
That's it. I mean, I have no problem with that. Like, I have none. I think J.K. Dobbins, Joe Mixon are very similar players. Only thing with me is that Trey Benson's a little bit bigger than a J.K. J.K. is a smaller guy. That's why I think Marshawn Lloyd is J.K. Dobbins this year. I have a very... I feel it deep down in my heart. I can spot these guys. Ken Walker, the J.K. Dobbins, those are my dudes. Joe Mixon was my dude when he came out. It's very similar kind of look, kind of comp. Very one cut kind of guys, explosive types. But yeah, I'm so excited. This is the last week. We are ready to make real content after this week.
Yes.
We don't have to sit here and just make up content to do. Now we're going to actually have everything that we need to really nail down our ranks because draft season is coming.
Let me ask this on really quickly before we get out of here, Brandon. J.K. Dobbins landed with the Chargers, right? So it's Gus Edwards, it's J.K. Dobbins, a.k.a. the old Baltimore backfield. A lot of talk with Blake Corum going to the Chargers. Do you think that's still likely going to happen? Probably not anymore, right?
No.
J.K. there?
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think if they're going to take a RB, but I think it's going to be round four and beyond. Round five and beyond. That's my opinion.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So that's it, man. Next time we're talking on this show, we're going to know landing spots. We're going to know draft capital. We are going to start hammering down and producing for our content over at DFSArmy.com, our rookie rankings. So
maybe we'll do a small, like, shoot your shot draft show of what you think is going to happen. Maybe we'll do that right before the draft happens, and just to get those out there, because honestly, I think it's very possible that Tua gets dealt this draft. I think that's very possible. I think we're going to see some major, major changes with values of players in this draft, with big names. So I'm excited for this draft because this is exactly what the league needed, dude. I'm so pumped. Like, this is exactly what the league needed. It's going to be a great draft.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, don't let your kids grow up as running backs either, because the money ain't there.
Don't.
The draft capital ain't there. Wide receiver is the way to go. So, of course, go check out all of our content over at DFSArmy.com. People are crushing it, Brandon. We got people crushing golf, NASCAR,
golf,
MMA. Like, just go follow DFS Army on X and check out all of the winnings that our VIP members are taking home, baby. So, love it. We're going to be here. This is when the rubber meets the road, Brandon. Our rookie drafts are going to be in the coming weeks here. We got you covered over at DFSArmy.com. So for Brandon, I'm Flex Shane, and we are the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. Go enjoy the NFL Draft.